Hey, y'all. Today we're going to look at an important transition in the Gospel of Mark as it turns toward the Passion itself. So starting in chapter 14, verse 1. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." And while he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, "Why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. So this is one of the most beautiful passages in the Gospels, and it is also another one of those sandwiches that we've mentioned again and again. The bread on either side of this account is the plotting to betray Jesus. On the one side, we have the plotting of the scribes and leaders in the temple, and on the other side, we have the betrayal and plotting of Judas to figure out a way to catch Jesus and turn him in. And in the center, we have their response to Jesus contrasted by this anonymous woman's response to Jesus, which is a beautiful depiction of total giving of herself, of total abandonment to Jesus, that is exemplary, again, in all the Gospels. Another thing to note is that it's the transition to the Passover. Of course, Jesus' death happened during the Passover, which is really a fulfillment of the Passover. Whereas the Exodus and the Passover in the book of Exodus was about deliverance from slavery to Egypt, this is about deliverance from slavery to sin and to death. And all the Gospels culminate in these accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection. These are the primary materials of Christianity because they tell that account. And if one of the simplest ways to tell the Gospel is to simply recount Jesus' death and resurrection. So a few things about the woman. I think one of the things Mark wants us to notice is that she is apparently the only person who has paid attention or intuited or understood the fact that Jesus has come to die. Remember, three times Jesus explicitly tells his disciples on the way to Jerusalem that he's going to die, and they don't get it, and they repeatedly don't get it. Yet here's this woman who anoints him, and Jesus says he's anointing her for burial. So somehow she seems to be the only one listening, the only one paying attention, the only one getting that Jesus has said a key part of his mission is to come and die. So I think she's absolutely significant for that. In addition, notice in Scripture, what do you anoint people for? Well, in Leviticus, you anoint them to be priests. And in the book of Samuel and Kings, you anoint them to be kings. And so I think those anointings are also implied. And then I would also suggest that she is anointing Jesus with this precious ointment, much as the Father anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And so I think it also signifies something of her recognition of Jesus' mission and his unique status as God's agent for salvation. But of course, her action also just represents a proper valuation of things. Remember, in this section of Mark, we constantly have the disciples and others wrongly evaluating things. So, as an example, the disciples are super impressed by the temple structure, and Jesus is absolutely unimpressed by the fruit of the temple. The disciples are maybe perhaps really impressed by all the rich people putting in lots of money, and Jesus is only really impressed with the poor widow who puts in two coins. So, another way this woman is commended is she gets what Jesus is worth. She understands that nothing wasted on Jesus is actually wasted, and that he is worth, he is beyond price. She gives him essentially her life savings, perhaps somewhere between a year and 3 years' earnings for a laborer, She is the one who properly values things, properly values in particular Jesus' life. And as I've mentioned, she's also a parallel or coupled with the widow who gave all that she have to the temple. Jesus says, listen, don't give her a hard time. Everywhere the gospel will be preached, she will be remembered. And we're reading it, and so Jesus' words are being fulfilled. And notice she's anonymous. I think there's a couple of things about that that are significant. One, it's her deed. It's her generosity and devotion that are highlighted, not that particular individual, even though she is remembered. Significantly, it's the only time that Jesus uses a verily, verily, or an amen formula with a person. Here's this woman who gets it, and she is going to be remembered everywhere the gospel is preached. Finally, I do believe that this woman was an actual historical woman, but I think she also stands in or represents the church. This is how the church should behave continually, that we should be giving our very best to Jesus extravagantly, and that to do so is not a waste at all. And I think Mark also wants to suggest, because Jesus has said this elsewhere, that doing acts of kindness towards the poor is equivalent to doing acts of kindness to Jesus himself. Of course, Jesus is there, and they don't need that action at the time. Finally, we get to the end and Judas's betrayal. A few things that are interesting about this. One is we often like to speculate on Judas's motives. Mark doesn't really care. He's just relating the story that he was maybe influenced by the devil, but that's all that we get. He's just focusing on the betrayal. But notice it's contrasting the woman's response. And really, the disciples' response should be contrasted. Here the disciples are going, oh, what a waste of money. This is so impractical. And the woman gets it and the disciples don't. And the worst end of the disciples is Judas himself, who decides to betray him. So the disciples and Judas are kind of a negative space behind this woman and her beautiful act of worship and devotion and extravagance on Jesus. And again, she represents the exemplary response that all of us should have to Jesus himself and his absolute worth. So may we have eyes to see what is of true value, and may we lavish our lives and what is of value to him on the Lord Jesus. Amen.